Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, March 30, 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, after we had our break, I had all kinds of people come up here and say, "You started on the wrong number," and it was Michelle's fault. I asked where we were, and she said nine, or I thought that's what I heard was nine. But you know, a four can look like a nine. All you got to do is just, so your four looks like a nine. I mean, and I had all these people come up and say, "Well, we missed out on 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and you started on 10. So, get ready. You have 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then when we got... this is all sub points under point 9. You see, I'm kind of getting you. Sub points under point 9. The indwelling and filling of the Spirit are not synonymous terms. And we noted, one, the indwelling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's body, while the filling of the Spirit emphasizes the believer's soul. And then two, when the Holy Spirit controls the soul, the believer is said to be filled with the Spirit. But when the sin nature controls the soul, the believer is said to be carnal, sarkinos, that is grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Sub-point 3, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is both permanent and irrevocable, whether the believer is carnal, spiritual, winner, loser, believer. Sub-point 4, the filling of the Spirit is temporary, depending on whether the believer has unconfessed sin in his life or not. All right. And then we went to point 10. Point 5. Let you fill it in there. Sub-point 5, the purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in the believer's body for the indwelling of Christ as the Shekinah glory and God the Father. How awesome is that? Every one of you have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, making your body a temple, and Jesus Christ is living inside of you, and God the Father is living inside of you, and they are with you every second of every day. every second of every day. How great is that? So some people, I get home after my study, and Debbie's will say, "Did anybody come by?" And I said, "Well, they didn't come by, but there were three other people there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we had a ball. We had a ball studying." So I said, it's always great. So, and they're with me every second of every day. That's the best. And they're with you every second of every day. You're not alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit indwells you and was with you every second. God knows everything about you, knows every situation, every circumstance that you're going through. God, the living and true God, is with you every second. How awesome is that? And that ought to be great encouragement in your life. You're never alone. Every once in a while I hear believers say, "Oh, woe is me, I'm all alone." Well, you have never grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you've never learned about God's fantastic plan in the church age, and you have God with you every second of every day. He knows everything about you, every situation, every circumstance, and He's provided perfectly for you so that you can honor and glorify Him to the maximum. 6. The purpose of the filling of the Spirit is to provide the enabling power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. A spiritual life that was first lived by Jesus Christ in the first advent, passed on to all of us as royal family of God. Necessary because we're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, and so God provided this so that we can be winners, conquerors, through the grace and power of God. So the purpose of the filling of the Spirit is to provide the enabling power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. 7, therefore the indwelling of the Spirit is permanent, while the filling of the Spirit is temporary, depending upon consistency in using the problem-solving device of rebound. 1 John 1:9. God knows we're going to sin. God knows we have a free will. God knows we'll make bad decisions and sin. God provided a problem-solving device, rebound. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly we're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. Now you can get up and move on. Move on toward the objective of spiritual maturity. 8, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent, while the believer is spiritual, whether the believer is spiritual or carnal. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent, whether the believer is spiritual or carnal. Therefore, it's non-experiential. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is non-experiential. And then 9, the filling of the Spirit, however, is temporary. So while the indwelling of the Spirit is permanent, the filling of the Spirit is temporary, depending on the experiential status of the believer. All right. And then I think we started at 10, and you have a 10. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. It's in the imperative mood. Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. But the indwelling of the Spirit is in the indicative mood because it's certainty, it's reality, it's fact. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19 and 20. And 11, therefore the indwelling of the Spirit is a permanent status quo in time. That brought us to point 2, and we finished point 2, the inner conflict between the sin nature and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Prior, the prior indwelling of the sin nature at the point of physical birth, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from the new birth, regeneration, results in a great inner conflict, a war going on inside of each one of us, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the principle of victory over the sin nature, while the filling of the Spirit is the function of victory over the sin nature. And therefore, emphasis is placed on the baptism of the Spirit, which divorces the believer from the power of the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, we're identified with Christ in his death and burial, and then current positional truth, we are identified with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session. We are now married to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been given a new way of life, the spiritual life. And it also provides a new marriage counselor for the new life in God the Holy Spirit. Now that brings us to point three. Point three. The prophecy of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The prophecy of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Turn over first of all to the Gospel of John chapter 7. The Gospel of John chapter 7. John chapter 7, starting at verse 37. Verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, I like that. He said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now he explains exactly what he means there. Whoever believes in me, that's the only issue for eternal salvation. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Notice what it doesn't say. Whoever believes in me and is baptized. He didn't say that. It's not there. He who believes in me. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Now he explains what he means. By this he meant the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. You see, right now, the church age hasn't begun. The church age began at Pentecost. But now it's still the age of Israel. So it says, by this he meant the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That is, when the church age begins at Pentecost. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given. There was no universal indwelling of the Spirit because Jesus had not been glorified. The church age began at Pentecost. First there's the resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. And then 10 days later, Pentecost and the church age begin. That's when you have the giving, the universal indwelling of God and the Holy Spirit. So this is the first prophecy. Turn over now to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. If you have a red letter edition, there's a lot of red letter. Now, you know, I showed you my notes. My notes, I got yellow highlighter and red ink and all that stuff. You ought to see my Bible. Yellow highlighter, red ink all over. Nothing. It's not sinful to do that on your Bible. See? Jesus says in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. The mandates in the Word of God. If you don't obey the mandates of the Word of God, you don't love Christ. And there's a lot of Christians do not obey the mandates of Christ. But if you love me, Jesus Christ said, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos, helper, that's God the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. This, and I love, this is one of the greatest titles of God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. Pneuma Aletheia. That's the word spirit. He has a special title. The Spirit of Aletheia. Absolute truth. A-L-long-E-T-H-E-I-A. Absolute truth. The Spirit of Absolute Truth. And what does that special, special title mean? The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in the royal family of God is the base of operations so that the Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of Absolute Truth, can teach you the absolute truth of the Word of God. The Word of God, and you all have translations, which are not God-breathed, but they're translations. That's why God gave the gift to pastor-teacher. And he told those with the gift of pastor-teacher to prepare for the ministry, so that that pastor can feed to you the God-breathed scriptures, exactly what he's given to you. And so here we have God the Holy Spirit with this great title. He is the Spirit of Absolute Truth. He's the Spirit of Bible doctrine. And it demands the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, together with the teaching ministry of God, of the pastor-teacher. The pastor-teacher teaches it. God, the Holy Spirit, takes it. And if you're in fellowship when you assemble, then the Holy Spirit takes that communication from the pastor and teaches you. That's called grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of doctrine, the Spirit of truth, absolute truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives right now. He lives beside you because the church age hasn't begun yet. Right now he lives beside you. That's the endowment of the Spirit. But he will be in you when the church age begins. That's Pentecost. And the church age. Right now he's beside you, endowment of the Spirit. But when the church age begins, it hasn't begun because Jesus Christ has not been, he hasn't gone to the cross, resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of the Father. So the church age hasn't begun yet. But it will. It will. He lives beside you now, but he will be in you. Church, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. So this, the prophecy of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit given by Jesus Christ. John 14:16-17, John 7:37-39. It was prophesied prior to the beginning of the church age by Christ. Now, you might, in that John 7:39, we have a use of water for God the Holy Spirit. It's water is used in the scriptures for salvation in Isaiah 55:1, Revelation 22:17. Water is used for the Word of God, Ephesians 5:26. And water is used for God the Holy Spirit, John 7:39. Point four, the primary objective of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The primary objective of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in your body for the indwelling of the other two members of the Trinity, Jesus Christ and God the Father. So first of all, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in your body for the indwelling of the other two members of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And secondly, the objective of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, since He is the Spirit of doctrine. Since He is the Spirit of doctrine, the Spirit of absolute truth, He fulfills the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, a mandate given to all of us, grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So secondly, the objective of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. All right. So Romans 8:9, we have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:10, we have the indwelling of Christ. But again, the corrected translation of verses 8 and 9. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, that is, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. However, you are not in the flesh. You're not under the control of the sin nature, but in the Spirit, assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, this one, the unbeliever, does not belong to God. All right, a couple of things. One, the unique spiritual life of the church age can only be lived by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit. The unique spiritual life of the church age can only be lived by the grace and the power of God the Holy Spirit. Two, apart from the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, apart from the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, there is no pleasing God. There is no pleasing God. There is no glorifying God. There is no attainment of spiritual maturity. And there is no virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So apart from the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, there is no pleasing God. There is no glorifying God. There is no attainment of spiritual maturity. There is no virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Three, all perception and metabolization of Bible doctrine depends on the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in your life. All perception and metabolization of Bible doctrine depends on the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in your life. 4. All application of Bible doctrine depends upon the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in your life. When you are filled with the Spirit, when you are walking, living your life by the agency of the Spirit, then all of that absolute truth of the Word of God you've learned to believe, now God the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to apply it skillfully and accurately to your own life. Skillfully and accurately to anything you're facing in your life. So not only all perception and metabolization of doctrine depends on the ministry of the Spirit, but all application of the Word of God, Bible doctrine, skillfully and accurately to whatever you're facing in your life, depends on the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. 5. Therefore, the difference between frustration and fulfillment of God's plan for your life depends on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Therefore, the difference between frustration and fulfillment, fulfilling God's plan for your life, depends on the indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Now that brings us to verse 10. Now Paul presents the indwelling of Christ. The indwelling of Christ. Verse 10 starts out in the King James, "And if Christ be in you." Aha! The indwelling of Jesus Christ is now given in verse 10. And you're going to have to come back for that next week. Lord willing, creek don't rise. There's no creeks around here in the desert. There are no creeks that rise. So come back. We'll have this, take it up at verse 10. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.